Good morning, listeners, and welcome to Christ Today. Today on our show, we have Ken Miller. He has had a lot of experience and a lot of things to do with his praise and worship of God through Jesus Christ, and we are going to be a part of it, a part of his experience as we learn about him. So, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all the things and that you bring to us, all the opportunities we have, and the ways that we have to serve you, Lord God. And we pray in Jesus' name, let this show bring you glory. Amen.
Amen.
Ken, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. Well, let's hear a little bit about who you are so we can just have a little bit of understanding.
Okay. First of all, I'd just like to invite all of you to a party that's going on. And you say, wow, that's pretty unusual to be on the radio having a party. Well, it's not the party that's here. It's the party that's in heaven. And I'll explain that as we go along. But July 15th of 2015, I received a phone call from a friend of mine that I hadn't seen for about 25 years or so. And he said, when I picked up the phone, I heard this voice and said, Ken, do you know who this is? And I said, no, I don't. He said, this is Michael Maddy. Do you remember me? I said, of course I remember Michael. And Michael was a part of my family when I was married and had children. And in fact, he reminded me that I preached at his ordination. And it had been 26 or 27 years since I had seen him. And the last time I had seen him was not under very good circumstances. But he said, Ken, I've been praying for you for 27 years. And that phone call was the pivotal point in my life. I'm 69 years old. I was 68 at that time. And I thought at one point in my life I had known Christ and had believed in him and accepted him as my Savior, but I fell into sin, and to make a long story short, my testimony is I once was lost, but now I'm found. And I speak at the party that is going on in heaven. My Father, my Heavenly Father, has thrown this great party, and I take that from Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son. The story, I won't read it here, but the story is two sons receive their inheritance, and one keeps it, and the other one takes it away and just leaves home and goes out and wastes it all, everything that he had, everything his father had. And he came to his senses and said, wow, you know, if I go home, I can just even eat with my father's servants, and I'll have more than I have now. And so I decided to go home. And what I found was, as I'm walking down the road to go home, I looked up, and here is my father running, not just walking, but my father running to greet me because he was so happy to see me. And that was the starting point of my life, my spiritual journey that has been going on for a year and a half now. Prior to that, John, I was a mess. Mm. I was a mess. And God just worked in my life. I thought I had become a Christian. In fact, I thought I was a Christian. I even went to seminary, went to Bible school, seminary, preached the gospel for over 10 years, and still struggled with sin in my life and couldn't get rid of it and succumbed to it. And that is, it doesn't really matter what the sin is. It's sin. Sin is sin.
Sin is sin.
Anything that separates us from God is wrong. What happened to me is I fell into a trap that Satan sets and says that we are a certain way and we can't escape that. The world today has said that. You are born that way and that's the way you're going to be. And to me, at that point in my life, I accepted the fact that I was born a homosexual. I was married for 23 years, had a great relationship until about the last 3 years or so. Two beautiful daughters, but I succumbed to that temptation and that sin that overtook my life. And at that point, I said, I guess that's what I am, so I'm going to have to live that way. And for 26 years, I lived a sin of drugs and sex and immorality that was, I don't even want to talk about it because it's not important. The important thing is that in that time, I had a man of God that was praying for me, and God didn't let me go. My father reached down and said, Ken, it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to come and receive the blessings of salvation, of grace and of mercy.
God reaches down from heaven and he touches us. He is right here with us. He loves us. This love that he has for us is so amazing. Amazing grace.
Amazing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. You know, since July 15th, when I received the Spirit of God into my life and trusted Christ, nothing's been the same. I was in Arizona at the time and was there by myself. I had moved down to Arizona with a person and just to help that person move. And she knew my life. She had been part of my life before. She rescued me when I was going to be on the street and going to have neck surgery. And her son said, Mom, I have a friend that needs a place to stay because he's got to have surgery. And so she took me in and helped me along, got me a job, got back on my feet again. And then it was at another point in my life when she moved to Arizona and said, help me move. I said, okay, I can do that. Not intending to stay there, but she said, well, Ken, you need to get away from that area you're in. He said, you can stay here if you want. Mm. So I stayed in Arizona, and that's when God did the work in my life. And for 9 months, she had to come back to California, and so I stayed there. And for 9 months, I spent time with God. After that call, I had nothing but time on my hands to spend in the Word, to pray, and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, everybody's different.
Everyone is different. We have a different walk.
Different.
We have a different sin. Each one of us has a different sin.
Yep.
But God reaches into our being and touches us right at the place where it makes a difference.
Doesn't matter what the sin.
It
doesn't matter.
Sin is sin.
That's right. Paul says in a couple of passages in Romans and Corinthians as well, where he lists a number of sins.
Yeah.
But the beautiful part of that is, and I can identify with most of those sins that are there, probably all of them, but the follow-on, he says, and such were some of you.
Were.
Were. Yeah. And that's not my life anymore.
Right.
I'm no longer a drug addict. I'm no longer a homosexual. It's not that I'm not a practicing one or not practicing that anymore. It's gone.
Gone.
My life has changed totally, completely. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And that's me.
Yeah.
Not just the forgiveness. My sins are forgiven. Far as the east is from the west, never to be brought up again. But along with that is the guilt. The guilt is gone. It took me a while to get rid of that guilt. But I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty.
The love that God has for us is so amazing. And we have to just recognize that it's a real truth, and we can have it. Just seek it. Seek God, and he will meet you.
Yep. That's the thing. He comes to us. He comes to us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. I have nothing, listen, fellow men and women, whoever are listening, I have nothing to boast in.
No.
Nothing
right.
in my life is boastful other than the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. It was him. It was all of Christ. Mm-hmm. Everything I have in my life today, I owe to the power of Christ. And that's what he's called me to do. That's why I'm speaking on this radio station this morning.
Yeah.
I want to declare the glory of Christ. I'll confess to you. I'll confess with my open heart. I am in love with Jesus. I love him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the reason I love him is because he first loved me.
Yes.
That's the difference. Yeah. That's the difference. And I want everybody to know that. You know, I'm not ashamed. Not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not in one bit. I will declare the glory of Christ till the day I die. I hope. I pray that I would.
Right.
I don't want to be Peter, you know, be impetuous and be boastful and then turn around and do something. I'm human. I sin, but I don't live in sin. It's not part of me. Part of me now is the newness in Christ. I died, and now I'm alive.
Right.
And that's what we show in baptism, the baptism.
Yes.
We
yes.
show our death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I've died to that old life. That mm-hmm. doesn't have control of me anymore. Mm-hmm. It does not control me. Do I sin? Do I succumb to it every once in a while? Yeah.
In your mind, yeah. We look at things. Yeah. We look at things, yeah.
And but it doesn't control me.
Right.
That's the thing that God has really impressed on my heart. Mm-hmm. And everybody's life is different, and the journeys are different in different respect. It's the same path, just different avenues off of it, you might say. What you do and what God does in your life in a different aspect, but it's still the same. It's still the same grace. The grace of God in John's life is the same grace that's in my life.
Yes, and God knows what path we are going to walk down and look down, and so does the adversary.
Yeah.
The adversary knows very well. He's been looking at us human beings for thousands of years, and he can recognize what our tendencies are to sin. Sin is what is against God, yeah. what God does not approve of.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Somehow we have to yield. We have to find out what this is, and then we say, yes, Lord, I will do it your way.
But, you know, and I hear this. Well, I'm human. I'm human.
Sure.
How can I do this? Well, I'm human. I am human, okay? And I sympathize with anybody that struggles with sin.
Yeah.
But here's my encouragement to any that are listening. We don't have to struggle, not totally, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. When I realize that I have the holiness of God living in me, when I on that night of July 2015, when I received Christ as my Savior and the Holy Spirit came into me, I became a new creature. Mm-hmm. And the new creature is exactly that the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, if I go away, I'm going to send a comforter to you. That comforter entered into my life that night. And I woke up that next morning and I was sobbing, just uncontrollable sobbing. And I'm a crybaby anyway, okay? I inherited my mother's tender heart in that sense. But I couldn't figure out why. I didn't know why I was crying. So I called my friend Michael in San Luis Obispo. I said, Michael, what's going on? I can't stop crying. He said, Ken, just stop and think. Think of all your 26 years of immorality and drugs and addiction and everything. God is emptying you. And it was just pouring out of me. And about a week later, it happened again. I went to Walmart, and got ready to go into the store, and I just started crying. And I sat down on the bench, and these people were passing by, right? And one lady stopped and said, are you okay, sir? I said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just crying. And I called my friend again, Michael. I said, Michael, you aren't going to believe this, but I'm sitting on the bench in front of Walmart, and I'm just sobbing, and people are just looking at me like I'm crazy. And he just started laughing, and I could laugh then too. Because I just realized it was the grace of God just pouring into me and getting rid of all of that sin. And it took me a few months of realizing not to have to deal with the guilt. Because I had such guilt. Because I walked away from my wife, my daughter. I walked away from the church that I was pastoring. And it was a great church, men of God, women of God there. Since I've gotten that all squared away, okay, I've gotten reconciliation with the church and with my wife. I'm still waiting on my daughter to come around, but that's going to happen. I'm just trusting that. But it's just amazing how God works, and we don't have to struggle mm-hmm. because of the power of the Spirit of God in us. The struggle comes is when we relinquish to the flesh and we say, well, I can't do anything about this. Yes, I can.
Yes.
Yes, I can, because yeah. I have the power of Christ. I am, Paul says in Colossians, we are complete in him. Now, I'm trying not to quote too many scriptures here, but I can't help it. That's my life.
Yeah.
That's where I'm coming from. That's what's controlling me. The Word of God, I have to go to there, because if I don't, I have no life.
It is the most real thing in any life. Once we understand that it is God's speaking into our life, there's nothing more real in here on earth than to have God's Word. So it's natural to be able to speak it, be able to remember it in our mind, and you're fine. You're great to talk to the Bible like this.
And I said at the beginning, I'm inviting you to the party, and I want you to come to that party. Listen, this is the greatest party ever given in heaven, and it's been going on for ages. I'm not the first one to receive a party by God, okay? I'm not the first child that's come home, okay? But I know that that party is going on in heaven for everyone that comes to Christ. And if you're out there this morning, today, whatever time it is you're listening to this broadcast, to my voice, don't listen to my voice. I'm giving you the voice of Jesus Christ from His Word. Anybody, the Word says, "What must I do to be saved?" There's only one answer: trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Doesn't say trust and go to church. It doesn't say trust and do this, trust and do that. It says trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you trusting? What are you trusting? What you're trusting is the sacrifice that He made, the death, burial, and resurrection. And it's not just enough that He died. It's not just enough that He was buried. But the important thing is He rose. He rose on that third day, and that resurrection life is now the new life that I have, and I'm offering it to you. I'm not offering it. God's offering it.
But you're speaking the words.
I'm speaking the words.
We communicate. We humans here on earth.
You bet. You know, and I have and sometimes I struggle with this, and I think, oh, God, I don't want to be this bold person and be so cocky and so lifted up in my own self. I want it to be of God. But I have to realize, He uses us. We are His spokesmen now. We are His ambassadors. We're His adopted sons. Think of that.
Incredible. It's such a blessing, and it's an amazing gift.
Wow. Adopted.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm a child of this creator of this universe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I take it one step further. I say to a friend of mine one time, in fact, just this last week, I said, "Brother, I've got your back. Jesus and I have your back. I have your back, but Jesus has your back, your front, your side, every step you take." Because He's ever living to make intercession for us. That's what Paul, whoever wrote Hebrews, I believe Paul. And he says He's ever living to make intercession for us. Do you know what that means, John? He never stops. I might stop praying. I might, not pray 24/7.
Yes.
Okay? I pray a lot, and I love to pray. You ask me to pray, and I'll pray. Okay, if I meet people and they say, "Hey, pray for me," I'm not going to wait till I go home. I'm going to pray for them right then. That's what God wants. He wants ever, just continual, 24/7 praying.
Pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing. Somebody says to pray, I'm going to pray, because that's my communication with God. That's how I communicate. That's how I receive. And the thing I'm learning is to be still and know that I'm God, to listen to His voice.
To His voice, yeah.
And so many times we talk, and just like now, we're talking. We have to we have to fill up all this dead space on the air, okay?
Yeah. You know,
but we don't have to fill that dead space between. There is no dead space between me and God, not anymore. It's been, and I say this to people. From July 15th of 2015 till today, I'm on this trajectory, straight up. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to always be happy and go lucky and everything else. I am so far, okay?
Yeah.
Things happen. Situations come into my life. I have a difficult time with things, but I just always turn to Christ, always. And that's where I'm at.
Yeah, do you see a difference between turning to God and turning to Christ? Is this a difference in your mind?
No.
Same.
Yeah. Because Christ is God.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
When I pray, I thank God the Father that He's my Father.
Yeah.
I thank Jesus Christ the Son because He redeemed me. And I pray to the Holy Spirit because He indwells me. He brings that comfort, that encouragement. When I get down, He says, Ken, what are you doing? Look what I did for you.
Yeah.
Look what I did for you. And I'm at His right hand. I'm right there with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father. He's at His right hand.
Right. Yes, it does.
And you know what else it says?
Tell
it says
me.
That I'm right there with Him. I'm right there with Him. Whatever is Christ is mine.
Yeah.
I'm a joint heir with Jesus.
Joint heir. Yeah, this is such an amazing, awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. speaking of amazing, can I give another little sidelight?
Yeah, yeah.
I go to the VA, to my doctor. And so when I moved up here, I had to go to Sacramento for my first visit with my doctor, right? And he's a great man. I love him. And I was telling him, you know, he said, well, how's things, Ken? I said, well, let me tell you something, Doc. I said, a year and a half ago, now this is how I give my testimony, John, to some
yes.
people. A year and a half ago, I had no teeth. I had no driver's license. I was a drug addict.
Oh.
I was a homosexual. I was close to living on the street.
Wow.
I had no hope in my life whatsoever.
Yeah.
I could barely walk. My knees hurt so bad walking up and downstairs that when I went up to California after 3 months in Arizona, I asked a lady that I used to take care of if I could have one of her carts because she had three of them. And I said, Gail, you don't need all three of them. So I took one back to Arizona with me. Well, little did I know that God was going to be doing all this work in my life.
Yes.
And so all those things, that was a year and a half ago. And I looked at my doctor and I said, Doc, today I have teeth. I have a driver's license. I'm not a drug addict. I'm not a homosexual. I can walk and I'm living for Jesus. And you know what he said?
No. What?
He said, amazing. So whenever I hear the word amazing, I think of my doctor. That's the testimony of my life. The shortest version, I once was lost, and now I'm found. The intermediate one is, okay, I just gave it to you. The long version, it takes a while to declare to you. My wife, we were married about 7 years, I think. Maybe 5 years. I think my oldest daughter was five. And she told me that she had accepted Christ as her Savior. And I said, well, that's good. I don't know what took you so long. I've known him all my life because I grew up Catholic, okay? I went to Catholic high school, so I knew about Jesus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on one night, I pulled out the marijuana joint, and I got high, and I was laying on that couch, and I thought, you know, this was my conversion experience that night. That's what I claimed it. And my wife came in, and I said, hey, honey, I just accepted Jesus as my Savior. And she got mad at me, and she said, don't do that if you don't mean it. I said, well, I said, I got high, and Jesus visited me. So
how interesting.
I realized, I thought that I had come to know Christ.
Yeah.
And we started going to church, and my life, you know, I got rid of things in my life. And pretty soon I thought, well, this is a good thing. I need to go declare this. I need to preach it. So I moved from the state of Washington to Pennsylvania, packed my kids up. We went to Bible school. After the first year of Bible school, I got a little church up in the mountains and preached, and everything was going, you know, pretty good because I was doing what I thought was right. But I still had in my mind this nagging thing. And I would say, God, if you don't want this in me, take it away from me. And I have learned since, it's not saying, God, if you don't want this, God doesn't want it. Okay? I wanted it. I still wanted it in my life, and I wasn't ready to get rid of it. And consequently, that sin entered in, the sin of homosexuality. And I lost my wife and everything. But praise God. He never let me down.
Yeah.
Never let me go. I really say it's due to the prayer. It's due to prayer and the grace of God. And when I see people today, always, the first thought comes to my mind, but for the grace of God, there go I.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
I am no better than anybody else. I have, I still talk to a lot of my friends from my old life. I text them every once in a while.
Yeah.
And it's not the sin of homosexuality. It's not the sin of adultery. It's not the sin of lying, of cheating. It's sin. Whatever it is that separates us from the love of God. And when he comes in and wipes that sin out, it changes. Mm. The life is amazing. Amazing.
I know it's one of the things that I like to present, that sin is sin, no matter what it is. And God hates sin.
Absolutely.
The big sin, the small sin, it is all separating us from God. And that's one of those things that we, human beings, we justify our sin. We think, well, everybody's doing this.
Yeah.
Everybody takes the paper clips from the office or the pens. You know, that's, it still is stealing. Oh, well, I just took $3,000 from my grandmother, let's say, whatever it is. But we have a tendency to say it's okay to do the little sins as long as we don't do the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
This is not true. Sin is sin in the eyes of God.
Yeah. God doesn't differentiate between sin.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
But he does. He does show mercy and grace. And his mercy and grace is abundant and free. That's the key. It's free.
It's free is right.
It's
free.
Yeah. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. That's the invitation.
Yes, that is the invitation.
He's standing at the door. All we got to do is open it. When the Spirit of God convicts us, just open it. Don't hesitate. Don't put it off. Don't put it off.
I think it's so interesting that there are people who have requirements. Okay, you want to come to Christ? Fine. But people in our church, they don't dress that way or something like that.
Yeah.
We have to remember that it's a very simple thing to come to Christ.
Absolutely.
Very simple.
Absolutely.
But then once we know it, we do have to repent.
Yeah.
And we do have to come to God on his terms. And that's one of the things so often we neglect, and we human beings, that is, We look at the requirements. What does it take to get close to God? It's very simple.
Well, Nicodemus, the Pharisee, said, Jesus, what must I do to enter into the kingdom of God? What did Jesus say?
Repent and be saved.
Be born again.
Be born again.
We don't hear that term so much today. You know, it's come to Jesus and everything will be fine. Yes, that's true. You do need to come to Jesus. But you, because he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm born of the flesh, of water, out of my mother's womb.
Right.
But Jesus says you need to be born again. And that doesn't mean that I'm gonna go to church, and I'm going to quit smoking and quit drinking and quit doing all these things, and I'm going to be right. No. First you come to Jesus.
That's the very first.
I remember one thing, this is a little story, and my friend used to tell me when I was in Bible school, he said, Ken, you'll never be a preacher because you don't know anything about sports, you don't know anything about automobiles, you won't be able to have any illustrations, you know?
and that was kind of
a standing joke between us. But I remember one illustration, and it's really true. Little Johnny came up to the preacher and said, boy, preacher, you must have a boring life. And he said, why do you say that, Johnny? He said, well, you can't smoke, you can't chew, you can't dance, you can't swear, you can't do any of those things. And the preacher looked at him and said, well, Johnny, I do all those things. I smoke all I want, I chew all I want, I drink all I want, I go with all the girls I want to do, I do all those things, I swear all I want. He says, you do? He says, yeah, Johnny, but I don't want to. That's the difference. That's the difference. When you come to Christ, you don't have to clean up to come to Christ. God will take care of all that, okay? I'm not telling you to stop sinning. I'm telling you, do what Jesus says. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he has given me the greatest rest in my life, okay? Now, I'm 69 years old, going on 70, and my mind is not as sharp as it used to be, okay? But I have prayed for God to restore that mind and heart, and he does that. One of the things that I pray and I say, God, don't let me get Alzheimer's, because I don't want to ever stop loving Jesus, okay? I want my mind to always know that I'm in love with Jesus. When I turned 69 this last July, I called my friend Michael. I said, "Hey, Michael, today's my birthday." He said, "How old are you?" I said, "I'm 69. And he says, "Ken, do you know what 69 backwards is?" I said, "What?" He says, "It's 96. I said, "Do you mean to tell me that God's going to give me another 27 years to live for him because I lived 27 years for the devil?" He said, "Well, maybe." I said, "Wow, hallelujah, I'm going to be 96 years old when I die." So, you know.
Who knows that one?
Who knows? People say, "How are you, Ken?" I say, "I'm fine. I'm great."
Right.
The only way I could be greater, there's only one way that I could be greater right now, John, is if I heard that trumpet sound and he says, "Come up here, Ken."
That's right.
There's only only way I could be greater than what I am right now. Yeah. Okay? I still go through life and things come about, but I have that power in Christ to overcome. To overcome.
I love that part about why are we here on earth? We are here to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
And so what can you not do in heaven? Sure, we want to go to heaven because it's great. It's wonderful. We are with so much lovingness there.
Yeah.
But we are here, and we are here to be faithful to God through Jesus Christ.
And I've heard people say, "Wow, you mean all you're going to do for eternity is praise God?" Hey, I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't have a clue other than what the Bible, the glimpses that we have. Yeah. But if I spend eternity praising God, it's not long enough to praise him and thank him for what he did in my life.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's not long enough for the God of this universe to reach down to a sinner such as me or you or anybody else is listening. How can we not but do anything but praise him and shout hallelujah?
Yeah.
Okay? Now that's, you know, one of the things that's going to happen, because when we read in the Word of Revelations and they bow down before him, I have no problem in bowing down before God. None. Not even now. Okay?
Right.
I need to do it more. Do it more.
Yeah.
You know?
I think of it as praising God for eternity, He is without end. He is so amazingly, just amazing. And it'll take an eternity to get to know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
And will we even after eternity?
No. you know, I just marvel. I can't help but marvel at his grace and his love to me.
That's right.
And the people that he has brought into my life right now at this point. And I couldn't, you know, it's unthinkable what I would be doing without this. In fact, I'm sure that, I'm not sure I would, it's a miracle that I'm even alive now because of the things that I could tell you stories that, you know, and that's not what I want to do.
We're glorifying God. That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing, yeah.
And we love God, and he first loved us. I think that is such a big thing.
Amazing, amazing. And for anyone that's listening to this, whether you are already a believer or not, if you're not, hey, I'm urging you. I'm pleading with you. I'm with God. God says, "Come unto me." Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Trust him. Trust in his sacrifice. It's not just of having a wonderful feeling. It's coming to Christ and knowing that he died for your sins. The sacrifice that was made, the whole picture in the Old Testament, the sacrifice. Listen, I count my blessings that I don't have to do what they had to do in the Old Testament. All of it pictured, it was a picture towards Christ. Now, it's done. He entered into that place when he died. There's some amazing, amazing things in scriptures. And one of them is when he bowed his head, he said, "It is finished."
Mm-hmm.
It is finished.
Yes.
It's done. It's complete. We don't have to do anything more to earn. We don't have to do anything. He gives it to us all freely. Mm-hmm. Freely by his grace we're saved.
Yeah.
So the important thing is to come to Christ, but to come to Christ knowing that he died for you. was buried for you, and he rose again. Because if you just have a dead Christ, you have no newness of life. You're still dead in your sins. But his resurrection, that's the power that gives me the life now to live for his glory. I don't do it for my sake. I do it for his sake. I don't do it in my strength. If I did, hey, I already tried all that, and it didn't work. Yes. It didn't work. Yeah. It messed me up, messed my life up, messed people around me up. But now I live by the power of Christ in me. So I just urge anyone listening, if you are not in the body of Christ, if you don't know what it means to be born again, hey, look in the scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is one of the most quoted scriptures in the world. I think if you don't know anything about the Bible, you know what John 3:16. If you watch football, you know what John 3:16 is. You know?
Yeah.
Somebody's held that sign up in that stadium.
Yeah. That's
and they aren't holding it up for their purpose, for their own strength.
No.
But I just urge you, and if you are out there in Christ, I want to just encourage you. If you know Jesus as your Savior, don't struggle. Don't struggle. Just let him have that power and authority, and just give him the strength. I mean, receive the strength from him is what I meant. Okay? Call on him. Yeah. He'll deliver you. He did it for me. And I know that he did it for John.
Sure he did.
Okay?
Yep.
It's amazing. It's amazing what God has done. Amazing. Just simply. You know, there are things in my life that I have, well, it's not even regret anymore because God's taken all that away. Mm-hmm. I can't be happier. And the only way I could be happier is to be with him.
Yes.
And the reason I'm so happy now is because I am with him, because he dwells in me. That's right. I mean, if anything, you know, anything, I encourage people, you know, don't worry about what you're doing. Worry about what you're doing for him. Do those things that are pleasing to him. And he'll give you the strength to do it.
It starts someplace, and we always have to start. And so many people don't even know there's a God. They don't believe.
Yeah.
And so, for me too, I had this happen, and it was, God, if you're really there, if there really is a God, show me.
Yeah.
And he answers that prayer.
Yeah, he does.
And there's so many people today who don't know there's a God, who don't know anything about God. And I was one of them.
Yeah.
And at one time. So I know that I think you'd say the same thing. If God can reach me, he can reach anybody.
He can reach anybody. Absolutely. So, if I may, I'll just give one other testimony to the power of God's grace in my life. And the same power in anybody's life when they call on him. And I mentioned, and I didn't go into details of the homosexuality of my life and everything else. That's gone.
Yeah, gone.
It's gone. But there are people, I pray for them.
Yeah.
You know, and as God brings them to my mind, or they text me and say what's going on, I put them on my prayer list, and I pray for them every single night by name.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the individuals called me, and he said he wanted to come visit me. Well, probably 9 months ago, I might have kind of hesitated because I wasn't sure where I was, how strong I was in the faith.
Yeah.
But I said, sure, come on. So he came out here, and I picked him up at the bus depot, and I saw him, and I thought, oh, my goodness. I mean, I could just see the sin. I mean, just he was living on the street, you know, the gauntness in his life and everything. And I loved Matt. I think he was a great friend, you know, and we had a good time. And in that sin life, okay?
Yeah.
And I wasn't quite sure how to handle this, okay? And I just prayed about it before he got here. I said, God, you have to control this situation.
Yeah,
now,
he does.
I hope I don't mean to be offensive to anyone in this, but I wasn't sure. I live in a small place, a little two-bedroom house, okay? And I have one little small bedroom. It's about 10 by 10. My king-size bed takes up the whole place. And so I said, okay, Matt, you can sleep in my bed. And now here's the miracle of God's grace, John. Here's a man who a year ago, year and a half ago, I would have been sleeping in that bed.
Yeah.
Last July when he came here, I mean this past July, just a few months ago, he was laying in that bed, and I'm on my knees at beside the bed praying, and I said, Matt, do you want to pray with me? Now that is the miracle of God, okay? Yeah. I'm going to – don't imagine too much, okay? But imagine what it would have been like a year and a half ago
yeah.
in that same bed with that same man. Now I'm Ooh. Praying with him.
Yeah, pray.
Praying with him.
It starts someplace.
The place that was that we went, he met my pastor. He met other people. And, you know, nobody just beat him over the head with a Bible, but he saw a difference in my life, John.
Right.
He saw a difference. And he was here 2 days. And I took him to the train station. And I'll never forget, He looked at me. I gave him a hug, and I said, okay, Matt, I'll see you again soon. And he looked at me, and he says, Ken, he says, so what you're telling me is all I have to do is say, God, come into my life, trust him. All I have to do is come. I said, that's all you have to do, Matt.
Wow.
That's, that's a miracle.
Yeah, that is.
That's a miracle. I pray for Matt every day.
Yeah.
I pray for him. Haven't heard, he texted me when he got back to Florida, and I haven't heard from him since. So I'm just trusting God. And Matt, if you're listening right now, just come to him.
Yeah.
And maybe your name isn't Matt, but you're at the end of your ropes and don't know where to go. Come to him. I'm telling you, don't take my word for it. Just do it.
How do we do that? What does it take?
It takes an empty heart.
A heart that's willing to...
Willing to surrender. And all you got to do is say, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I've walked away from you, that I'm not listening to you. Right now, I want you to come into my heart, into my life. I repent for my sins. I shared with you a minute ago, John, before we came on the air about... I'm a Google fan, okay?
Yes.
If I want to know something now... I just say, hey, Google. went to Google and I said, Google, tell me what it means or what the distance is between the brain and the heart.
Yeah.
And you know what the answer got?
No, what did it say?
It came back with Acts 16:31, I think it is.
How funny.
What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?
I'm kind of surprised.
I said, wow, this guy isn't too bad after all. That's what you must do. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's
even Google knew that. Even Google. Can you believe that, John?
I'm really surprised.
There is no excuse for any man today. No excuse. No. Nobody's going to stand up in heaven and say, but God, I didn't know.
Yes.
Nobody.
Yes. That's right. The things are made more and more evident of the things all around us in every way.
Now, I'm not going to say as much about the internet as I do about Google. You have to be careful on Google, too. But the internet has a lot of bad things out there, okay? I'm telling you, and I found it. But, you know, hey, John, anybody that's listening, don't take my word for it. Go to the Bible. Go to God's Word. And you don't even have to do that. All you got to do, John just said it a minute ago, if you're really real God, make it known to me. And you know what? He'll do that.
Yeah.
God's not in the business of kicking people out. He's in the business of accepting people in.
And changing their hearts to submit
you
to his will. Yeah.
When you knock on that door,
yep.
When you knock on that door and open it, or when he knocks on that door and you open it, and you open that door and you're going to see a father running down that path. That was amazing to me. Go to Luke 15 and read the prodigal son. Yeah. That's what Jesus does. That's what God the Father does. The Father. And the other son says, "What? You didn't do this." He said, you have all this stuff.
He does.
This son has come home. Now we're going to celebrate. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's doing. He's still celebrating.
One of the things that is so interesting to me is we are so intent that we are not lied to. We don't like lies. We don't like to be lied to.
Right.
And what do? We seek the truth. And what is the truth? It's what is real. What is really the way it is.
Yeah.
And so we seek the truth. And how do we do that? We examine it. And we test the Bible for its truth and its validity. And the Bible is valid.
Yeah.
The Bible is true. And so that we are not following a lie, what do? We try to understand and seek the truth.
And I have people who say to me, well, the Bible is just man's writings, and it's, you know, what makes you think your religion is a true religion?
Good, answer that
okay.
one. That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, it's a hard one. It's a hard question. And the only thing I can say is, because we're the only thing, only religion, only truth that offers a sacrifice for sin. There is not another religion on the face of this earth that says we can freely come to God, that somebody else has paid our price.
That's right.
Somebody's paid the price.
Yep. Yeah.
You can use all the excuses you want, but the bottom line is, you know sin. Man knows there's sin. Otherwise, we wouldn't be trying to hide it. And even as Christians, we try to hide things from God. Listen, I'm going to tell you something.
Or from each other.
Yeah, in case you don't know it, you can't hide it from God. I just want you to know that you can't hide it.
Right.
We can't surprise God. We don't surprise God. In the least. We pray and think, oh, my God, you know, you must be really surprised at what I'm doing. Oh, no, he's not. No, God's never surprised. We can't catch him off guard. He's an all-knowing God. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
He doesn't just, you know, we can't just slip in the back door.
Right.
We don't slip in the back door. When we come to God, he opens that door, he swings it wide open, and he lets us come in. And he lavishes his love and mercy and grace on us.
Why do you think sin is so attractive to people of the world? They keep wanting to have whatever little things they want, or big things, whatever it is, but they don't want to turn from their sin and say, God, what do you have for me?
Probably, I don't know that I have that total answer, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think we all want to be our own God. We want to be in control of our life.
Good answer.
You know, we want to control it. As a child, we want to do what we want to do. We want that little shiny object. We want that new car. We want those things. And if we are told no, that doesn't set well with us, okay? Because by one man, sin entered into the world.
Yeah.
And death passed upon all sin, so that we are all sinners, okay? We're all sinners. I'm no better than anybody else. The only difference between me and someone else sitting out there might be I'm a sinner saved by grace. But I offer that same salvation to anybody that listens. Mm-hmm. To be a sinner saved by, there is nothing greater in this world than to be a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner.
I
still am a sinner.
Yeah.
I'm not a sinner. I still sin. Okay. God took me out of that realm of sinfulness. He gave me newness of life so that I don't have to walk in that life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I just encourage him.
That's the grace of God.
Yeah, only the grace of God.
Yes, only the grace of God.
Because when you stop and think of what grace means and what mercy means, it's amazing. Grace, God giving us something that we don't deserve. I don't deserve it.
Way to put it.
And then the mercy, he's withheld what we do deserve.
Yes.
He's given us something we don't deserve, and he's withheld what we do deserve.
Yeah.
That's mercy and grace. How could you not? How could we not? How could I not be just filled with the joy and the desire to serve Him.
Yes,
I deserve it.
Yes.
I deserve the worst punishment.
Oh, right.
And Jesus took that punishment. That's the amazing thing. You know what the most horrendous time in history was, in all of creation? I believe the most horrendous time was those time period, however long it was, when there was separation between God the Father and God the Son. Can you imagine? This was God separating His Son so that I could go free, so that you could go free. My God, Lama, Lama Sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The cry of eternity resulted in the joy of my life. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him. John,
yes,
you and I are His joy. We're the joy of His crucifixion, of His death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah.
So how can we slap Him in the face and just continue to do whatever we want to do? No, He doesn't want that. He wants our all. Is it easy? No. No, nothing's easy, okay?
But for the joy set before us.
Hey.
We say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We seek to obey Him in every way and yield our will to His.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I pray, I really pray, John, that it goes beyond listening to my voice. It's not my testimony, John. It's the testimony of Jesus in my life. There, I'm not here today because of what I've done, because of any goodness in my life. And I think I'm a good person, but in God's sight, but now, okay, at a year and a half ago, what I was in God's sight, I was the same person I am now. Because in Christ, it's all gone.
It's all gone. That's right. That's right.
He only sees His Son.
And we do submit to His will.
You bet. It's not my righteousness.
Right.
It's His righteousness.
We are covered in it.
That's it. I'm covered in the righteousness of Christ. It's amazing. So I just encourage anyone that's listening, don't just listen to my voice. Listen to the voice of Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Yes.
I stand at the door and knock, Jesus said. If any man hears my voice, I will come in and sup with him. He'll eat with you. He'll live with you. He indwells us. Now, I don't know any other religion on this earth that gives that guarantee.
No.
Not one. Not one.
Or that has the evidence of...
Right. The evidence. The evidence. I'm an evidence.
Sure.
I'm here because of what He did, and only because of what He did. Yes. It's amazing.
And we want the truth. We don't want to be misled. We don't want to be lied to. And if we seek it out, if we search it out, we find out that God is true, Jesus is true, the Holy Spirit is true, the Bible is true. And how do we seek it to understand it so that we are able to live in accordance to God?
We just call on Him. We call on Him.
Amen.
Amen.
We sure do.
I coming down here today, and I was, contemplating of what our conversation was going to be like. And it's nothing I can say, okay? And I pray that God will use the words that we talked
about. We are all a testimony.
And it's not my words. It's the words of His word.
Those are...
John chapter 15, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Mm. Is God. And so when we pick up the Bible, that's God. That's God talking to us.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that, you know, I grew up in a religion, when I use that term, mm-hmm. that I had to do certain things. And if I did certain things, maybe I would go to heaven. Mm. No guarantee it. Probably I would have to go to purgatory first. Okay. Mm-hmm. But Jesus said, if you come unto me, you're with me from day one. There's no purgatory. There's no intermediate stage. You're with him or without him. That's the bottom line.
That's the Bible. Right?
That's the bottom line. You're either in him or you're not.
Yeah.
And I, you know, maybe that sounds pretty dogmatic to some. Well, I'm only basing that upon what the God's word says. That's what it says. And if I don't believe that, I am done. I am a man of unclean lips. I stand before a holy, holy God. And I mentioned to you earlier, John.
Yes.
This word, I believe every word in it. Okay.
Yes.
Now, there's some things I don't understand. There are many things.
That's true.
I take it by faith. Okay?
Yes.
But if he says one thing to me, he says it to you. He doesn't give you an excuse not to do it.
Indeed.
And me. And he says, be ye holy as I am holy. That's not an option.
Right.
He says, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. That's not an option. Mm-hmm. God doesn't give us options.
That's right.
It's not an option. You either come to him and be saved, or you don't. I mean, there's a choice. Okay, I get that.
That's perfect. Yeah,
I get it.
That's right.
I get it. But today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow.
Very good.
Today is the day of salvation. If you're in range of this voice right now, all you got to do is say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm a man undone. I want your saving grace in my life. However you word it, I can't give you the words. Mm-hmm. He says, believe and you shall be saved. Believe and you shall be saved. That believe means repentance from our sins. I once was lost, and now I'm found. I was going that way, now I'm going this way.
That's the whole answer.
He does about face. And if you can't do an about face in your life, and if you haven't done an about face in your life, then you need to do it right now. Right now.
Yeah.
Don't wait. Don't put off today what you can, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. He says, the day, today is the day of salvation. Did I repeat myself? Yeah, and I'll say it again. Today is the day of salvation. Beloved, 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 all I can do is tell you the joy that is in my heart, the joy and the grace that has been shed in my heart.
That says the whole thing. That's the whole thing. So we have just about a minute left. Would you like to have a closing prayer
I love to pray.
Close?
I love to talk to God. I love to talk to God. And so, God, Father, I come to you now just claiming your mercy and grace as always. Always take the words that have been shed today and speak them forth in the power of your Spirit into the heart, even if it's one person, God, one person that hears the word of your truth or the truth of your word. Father, open their heart. Might they just fall on their knees before a holy and a righteous God and say, God, I want Jesus into my life today. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. I want to be born again of the Spirit of God. I pray this in the power and the love of Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And amen.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. It's a blessing to have
you here.
It's
my pleasure.
Well, we work for the glory of God, and that is
absolutely
what we do day
absolutely
after day. Amen.
Absolutely.
Thank you, brother.
Shine your light, I am yours, Lord.